Well, welcome to The Extra 10. My name is Ben Cartland, joined here once again by Jason Esposito. Jason, Merry Christmas.
Oh, man, I am so
from
excited.
Me to you.
That's right. Was that hard?
It was.
Was
it
that was. Hard to say? No.
It was, but
love,
I made it.
Love this season. Love this week. So excited for the Christmas Eve services at Crossway Church. 12 Christmas Eve services, 3 locations. They're starting on Friday night in the Germantown location and then Saturday and Sunday at Sussex, North Shore, and Germantown. I just was talking with our worship ministry team, and it's going to be a powerful night. Some of the classic Christmas songs, an incredible creative reading and imagery around how Christmas fits into the broader story that God is crafting. I'm working with the campus pastors on our mini message. It's always a mini message for Christmas
for
Eve.
Christmas Eve, right?
Lots of songs, lots of creative arts, other elements. We're going to celebrate really powerful video about all that Crossway engaged for the Unwrapping Hope Ministry Initiative. There's going to be a video about that. There's going to,
You got me pumped
lots
up
of
right
stuff.
Now.
I'm so excited.
Like, I'm ready.
So I want to, again, for those listening, I guess if you're not listening, you're not hearing this, but RSVP, and I know it's like, oh, why do we do RSVP? But we know there's a couple of really popular services, and I'm just going to say at the 10:45 a.m. service seems to be trending as the most popular service.
Very full.
And so if that's the only service you can go to that service. We're going to make room.
Right.
Ben, I know your team is getting prepared from parking to chairs to everything. But if you can avoid the 10:45 service, that would be awesome. That would create space for everyone to get a seat. So we use the RSVP for that. We don't check. And so it's more just encouraging people to think ahead of what service they're going to go to, help us plan. But don't let that be a barrier. Recently, I invited someone who doesn't, you know, go to Crossway to come connect at church and come to Christmas Eve service. And I said, don't worry about RSVP, you know, just
right,
show
right,
up, you
right.
know, they're not church. They're not, you know, in that world. So we don't want that to be a barrier. We just want people to show up, but if possible, avoid the 10:45.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's going to be a great, powerful weekend. I've caught, you know, whiffs of the different things that are going to be going on. And yeah, it's going to prove to be, I think, a super powerful weekend. And on a personal note, I'm committed, and this is my public accountability here. I'm committed to read the Christmas story this week. I haven't yet done that. We've talked about it in almost every podcast leading up to Christmas here, but to read the Christmas story, to really let that settle in my heart and to really try to have a really great experience on Christmas Eve, just encountering God and showing appreciation for the gift of his son. And so yeah, on a personal level, if you haven't yet this season, Christmas season, read the Christmas story, I'm committing to do it this week here publicly. And I would challenge anyone who hasn't yet to do the same. It's going to be a great week.
And in addition to that, and it was cool because actually one of the staff team members walking by me in the hall earlier today and they're like, I'm going to read the Christmas story. Like, you know, and so that was neat. But it is important. We hear about it. We watch movies. I mean, I've been watching more Christmas movies this season than ever. And maybe that could be part of our best conversation in a minute.
Yeah, it's going to get exciting.
And so I've watched. But we've got to actually read the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Luke. So I would encourage people, if you're like, oh, yeah, I've read it. I've done that multiple times. I know what it is. You know, maybe read it in a translation that you've never read. You've never read it in the English Standard Version or the New International Version or the New American Standard Bible. Or maybe you've never read it in the Message. Or maybe you've never read it in the Living Translation. Or maybe you've not. I mean, there's so many different, the Jerusalem Bible. I mean, there's so many different Bibles. So that might be a way. Or maybe you've read it in different versions. You're like, you want to listen to it. You can listen to it, and you can listen to the actual story from the text with a cool accent, if that's your thing. You're like, oh, I know you could do that with, is it Siri or the GPS? You can like have different accents,
Right? Yeah.
You can have different people. And so you could even do that if that's helpful. You want Who voiced Darth Vader? Do you remember?
Oh man, there's a lot of people.
Jones.
A lot of people are just like throwing their coffees at the radio. Like, we're not on the radio.
We're not on the radio. But their podcast.
We need Pastor Marcus in here right
who
away.
Who did that? Anyways, really like
deep,
very
powerful,
cool, powerful voice like that.
So, yeah, it's gonna. There's a lot of different options out there, and AI has opened up the doors to even more. And so yeah, engage the Christmas story as in any way you can. I'm going to move us along here because we got a lot to cover today. So today's going to be a little bit of a special podcast. We're definitely going to touch on briefly here the sermon on Sunday, which was about
prayer.
Sure.
James Earl Jones.
Okay. Right.
I might have just Googled that because I couldn't focus.
I know. The best part is I feel like our audience has an expectation that that's something you might know, but they have no expectations of me knowing something like that.
It's not Marvel.
But we're definitely going to talk about the sermon, which was focused on prayer and talk a little bit about that. But then we really want to move into what we're calling the best of 2023, where some are going to be a little bit more serious topics, but some are going to be a little bit more fun topics. And what was Jason's best of 2023?
And maybe a little bit of Ben, too.
Maybe a little bit of me. Hey,
come on.
Hey.
This is a team. We're a team.
Yeah, man. People don't want to hear from me, man.
They do. I hear, Ben, man. He just does a good job. That's what I hear. He's got a great voice.
I'm a good. Maybe I ask a good question, but I wouldn't be the one answering.
You make great comments.
But anyway, so just real quick, I did, you know, the sermon on Sunday, and it was a little bit kind of self-sufficient as well. So it's actually kind of advantageous that we don't need to take the full time here to talk about it. But just real briefly, we talked about prayer, and we've talked about prayer in the podcast at length in multiple podcasts over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And so you could peruse back to, because the conversations I would imagine would be somewhat similar, but and just some of the difficulties of prayer. And I guess one of the things I just wanted to, maybe the one question was just if you could comment on really expectations as it comes to prayer, because there's so many comments in the Bible and scriptures in the Bible that talks about the power of prayer. But we know, and we've talked about this in the podcast in the past, that the timing isn't always what we want. The outcome isn't always what mm-hmm. we want. The loved ones that we've prayed for healing have passed away. Prodigal children that are still far from God might still be far from God, you know, and we've been praying for years or decades. And so just a little bit, I just wanted to touch on, you know, especially in a season like this, when people are reflecting on, you know, God and their relationship with God and the role that God plays in their lives. And you mentioned on Sunday how powerful prayer is, both in what it does to us, but then also, and we've talked about this before, we can't really explain it, but it does kind of move the hand of God. Prayer does, and we can't really explain how that happens, but it does. And but with that, you know, what type of expectations people can have as they approach a prayerful season, and you know, thinking about prayer and how it may have played out for them in the past.
So there's so much that can be said about prayer. And as you mentioned, we've talked about prayer in prior podcasts. And I didn't get into this too much this past weekend. But when we think about prayer, there is so much mystery to it. And I did say that this past weekend. But the mystery is connected to different aspects of how God has created all things and how God sustains all things. When we pray, we are transformed. When we pray, God does move in our life. When we pray, we shift the focus of our minds. And so prayer is so powerful on every level. But when we pray, it also uniquely moves the hand of God, which there's some mystery there to that too. Like, so if we don't pray, there's things that God won't do. And when we pray, there's things that God will do.
Right.
And it's not... God is not Santa Claus. God is not a slot machine. God is not, you know, it's not like we pray God has to do. He's not a genie in a lamp, right? Yeah, but it does. And I don't understand it all. So again, that was reiterated this weekend. But I do think there's a few points that need to be highlighted and we need to remember as we wrestle with what feels like unanswered prayer or the timing of prayer being a lot longer than what we would have hoped for or think is appropriate. And one is there are spiritual forces of darkness. There are demons, dark angels, fallen angels. Satan is real. And they are on a mission to destroy the work of God. And so there is a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, where Daniel prays, where it seems from the text that God responds, but the answer to Daniel's prayer is delayed because of a demonic force. That's like a 3-hour conversation right there. Wait a second. God answers. And so God could have obviously bypassed all that. God is God. But God still chooses to operate within the manner in which the world exists. And when I mean the world, I'm not just talking about the world that we can see and touch and study, but also the unseen world, the spiritual world as well. So demonic forces influence how prayers are answered from at least that story in a timing structure.
Right.
Another factor is, and you mentioned it, you're praying for your kid who maybe grew up in the church, maybe knows the truth, but is living a prodigal life, or you're praying for a cousin or a friend who doesn't know Christ. And we know that God desires none should perish, but all to come to repentance. We know that God desires all people to be in a rich and passionate and thriving relationship with himself. And so we're praying over and we have thousands of people praying, but God still won't allow our prayers to short circuit love. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this multiple times. Love requires choice. And so I can pray for my kid to come to know Christ and God will respond to that and move and challenge and convict and on all these different aspects of how God draws people to his presence, but he's not going to force someone, because a lot of people prayed for them to fall under his lordship, his leadership. He's not going to force someone to come to know him. So that's kind of limits in that sense of prayer. Is that?
That's good. And it's just really important to remember, you know, cause I can't tell you how many times I've, you know, prayed for something and felt that, you know, God, if I just have the faith of a mustard seed, I can move a mountain, mm-hmm. you know, and that's come up, you know, I know it's a little bit out of context but that's mm-hmm. how I have thought about it in the past, things like that, and been frustrated. And so it is good to remember and to keep in mind. Sorry, I just said "and" like three times in a row. That sounded weird.
I would leave that in the podcast.
I am going to leave it in, but it was in my headset, okay. And so I just heard it like it. Echoing in my brain. I've seen how, you know, God be, you know, stepping back and being able to look at the at least as much as I can fathom the larger picture, mm-hmm. and starting to understand that I'm a part of a much larger thing, and that God is going to provide, but he's going to provide what I need more than what I want. Mm-hmm. And I do find that oftentimes I have prayed a lot for things that I want, but they're not bad, right? Like you pray for a loved one who's sick. Like that's not bad, but it's something that I want that person to be healed. And maybe that person, you know, of course wants to be healed, but you know, God has a bigger story in mind.
Right. And God's primary concern is that we'd be holy. And that might mean we can't be healthy. And when I mean healthy there, I mean physically healthy. We know that holiness is found in the struggle. And though I pray and I want God to heal me of physical ailments, and I've been healed at times, I recognize that what's most important is that I'm holy. I remember a title of a book called Sacred Marriage, and under the title was something like, I don't know if this is the exact quote, what if God's intent for your marriage wasn't for you to first be happy, but holy? Hmm. And that was really challenging because I want a happy marriage. Who doesn't want a happy marriage? Right. And I do have a happy marriage and I have challenges in marriage as we all do. But what God is most concerned about is that in our marriages, in our relationships, at work, is that we'd be holy. So what if God is more concerned that you are holy at work than you are daily energized by your work? And I'm not saying that God isn't concerned with you being energized by your work. I'm not saying that God doesn't want your marriage to be happy, but holiness is paramount, becoming more like Jesus. Another aspect of prayer ties into, well, what if you're praying for rain today and I'm praying against rain today?
Right. Right. Right.
Like, who does God answer? Well, does he like Ben or Jason more?
Right, yeah. Right.
And then it gets weird. Like, there's sometimes we're praying about something that's in direct opposition to what somebody else is praying. And then how does God sift that out? So there's so many complexities to pray, or we're praying against the normal rhythm of how God has wound up the universe. I'm going to jump out of a plane. This is the extreme kind of bumper sticker example. I'm jumping out of a plane without a parachute. God, please interrupt gravity so I don't go squash on the ground. Like, you know, that's not how God normally operates. If you jump out of a plane without a parachute, you are most likely going to die. It doesn't matter how much you pray. And it doesn't mean that God hasn't or couldn't interrupt the laws, the law of gravity. But more often than not, God doesn't. And when he does, it's called a miracle. Mm-hmm. And if God always was interrupting how creation works, then there would be no distinction for miracle when God kind of cuts through that which is normative and does a powerful work. God does that all the time, but he knows the limits of that in the connection with how everything is held together in order in the universe.
Right.
We're going down a little philosophical rabbit hole there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's no doubt there's a ton of conversation to have about prayer. We just kind of scratched the surface here, and I know we kind of got to move on to some other things, but I will say we have done entire podcasts, multiple on prayer and these exact conversations and series on prayer. Mm-hmm. So I'd encourage you, if you want a little bit more, go back in the archives there. Mm-hmm. They all should still be posted and find some of the ones on prayer. Mm-hmm. There are several. So
can I just say one word on prayer before we move on? So it's what Luke tells us the parable was all about this past weekend, the parable of the unjust judge. Pray and never give up. Pray and don't lose heart. Whatever's going on in your life, continue to pray. Continue to listen to God and communicate with God. Even if we don't understand all that's going on, even if we're not seeing results, how we would define results or in the timing that we define, continue to pray and never give up. And Jesus was clear that when the Son of Man returns, when he returns someday, not as babe in a manger, but as a conquering just king, those who are found faithful will be those who pray and never give up.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. So we're going to move on. We're going to move into our best of 2023 conversation here. Is there any particular thing you want to start with?
I feel like we need like a Christmas like jingle right there.
I will go look in the sound effect Rolodex when I'm editing this and see if I can add a jingle. Okay. No promises.
I won't sing.
I will just go jingle, jingle. And is there anything you want to start with? Any particular topic you want to start with?
No, where you want to go?
Best
of? Well, I want to say it might not be the absolute best of. This is not a scientific process movie here. It might just be like, this is what comes to mind. Yeah. This was, we should call it the most interesting, or the things that come to mind when you ask the question of 2023. Yeah. And maybe possibly the best of, because I can hear it already. Yeah. I'm going to say the best blank or the best show was this, and someone's going to email us and say, well, actually, that was the worst, and that's the only book you read. You think that's the best book now? So just like the things that come to mind
that were interesting. It's the best for us.
Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Or just what I thought of right now.
All right, we'll kick it off.
Off the cuff.
Best trip or vacation you took in
2023. That's an easy one. I had the opportunity with Amy and some of my family to go to Western Europe. We did some missions work in Berlin, Germany, visit some partners, actually our newest global partners in Berlin. So excited about what God's going to do in Berlin. Such a need. Then we also visited some international workers in Toulouse, France, and Bordeaux, and then Paris. And then that started a vacation. Got to go to not only those two countries, but then go back to where my dad grew up in Italy and the territory we grew up, which was Southern Italy near Naples area, which interestingly enough, is the birthplace of margherita pizza. And margherita pizza was invented by an Esposito, which is pronounced Esposito in Italy, but no relation.
Wow,
there's a lot of Espositos, because Esposito is an orphan name. It goes way back. There's an interesting history of it in Italy. But it was just fun to go to Italy. Great food. Fun to go to Germany and France as well and see what God is doing. But it was just neat to be in the area where my dad grew up.
Yeah. So my best trip slash vacation is a little bit of an odd one. So my wife and I took, with our kids, we went to like this camping little trip up north somewhere, but it was like kind of these, I don't know, like luxury, tiny, I mean, luxury, we lose, it's luxury camping, but that's just because it wasn't in a tent, right? But it was.
So that's not camping then.
It's not really camping. No. But it was like these.
So you were in a 5-star hotel up north.
No. So it was in these tiny house trailer type things. Oh, right?
Those are fun.
They are fun. So it was like bunk queen beds. And then you get out of bed and hit your knee on the kitchen table and your head on the stove, you know, that type of stuff.
I want to do one of those.
Yeah. So we did that. And with young kids, it did not go well. Oh. And so, I mean, we had fun. We had a good time.
Without kids.
Right. Well, yes, I would advise. But I will say the reason why it was the best trip. So we did the first night on Friday night. And then Saturday we had fun. We went to some parks, spent some time in the area. Saturday night, the girls were just having a terrible time falling asleep. Like I said, we're all just feet away from each other. And so I stood up and I threatened to the girls. I said, if you guys can't sit down and be quiet, we're just going to pack up the car and go home. Mm-hmm. And my oldest kind of looked at me and was like, Daddy, I kind of just want to go home. And then the youngest said the same. And I looked at my wife. She kind of nodded. And so at 9 o'clock or 7:30 or no, it's about 8 o'clock. We packed up the car,
went home,
drove 2.5 hours home. Everybody slept in their own bed.
That's awesome.
It was one of those, you know, one of those moments that it was obnoxious at the time, but kind of the failure creates the memory.
Yeah, that definitely.
And so that's what I would call the best trip, because we had a fun. Awesome. I remember just driving home. The girls were, you know, half asleep or maybe watching a movie or something like that, and Charity and I just had some fun laughs at our whole situation on the way home. So little things like that made up the best trip. Cool. Now, albeit I didn't go to Europe either, so maybe that would have trumped it. But
it was my first time to Western. Well, after college, I went to Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But in
a while, yeah,
long, long time.
Gotcha. All right, so best book you read in 2023.
Yeah. I can't pick a best book. But I can maybe share a couple of books that I thought were challenging, interesting, and would be worth some people that are, if you're listening, I think I've said that twice now on the podcast. So we're really relaxed today. It's Christmas week.
It's Christmas week.
And I have my hot tea here. But just books that impacted me this past year. So one, it's an older one, and maybe I read this a long time ago, but I either reread it or didn't remember reading it a long time ago. I read it again. It's Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. Ordering Your Private World. Highly recommend that book. Very challenging, very important. Another interesting book I read this past year is Bullies and Saints. That book is, if you're into history a little bit and some of the best things and worst things that the church has done throughout history. Mm. And that's a really fascinating read. Another book, I've done a lot of reading on two different topics this past year. One is all topics of human sexuality. And so I've read a bunch of different books on human sexuality, and we're going to be having our human sexuality gathering in February. So kind of shout out to that. But the other category of books that I read a lot on what does the Bible really say about women in leadership, church leadership, and the different opinions about that. And so one of the books that I read that was fascinating was Tell Her Story. The book is Tell Her Story. That was a really good book that helped me see some different perspectives on women and women in the scriptures, and then engaging that conversation about women in leadership. I'll give you one more. Another one that was, I mean, there's just so many, I guess. I don't know where to go from here. You know, should I talk about that book or that? Yeah. Maybe another book that was kind of interesting is Flourishing in Ministry, which probably wouldn't be interesting to most people, but it was just some research done about how to engage self-care when you're in vocational ministry. And that was Flourishing in Ministry, Matt Bloom. And there's just a high level of burnout in vocational ministry, as well as individuals that go sideways. So that was right. a pretty interesting one. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think I read this book. Here's a leadership business book that I read. I think I read it in 2023. It might've been 2022, but it's come to mind. So I'll say it
again. We'll put the asterisk next to it.
Yeah. No Rules Rules, the Netflix story, was just fascinating.
Okay.
So just if you're interested, if you like reading about companies and business and leadership, that was a fascinating read.
Yeah. I guess the way I'm going to treat it is every question I ask you, I'm going to answer unless I don't want to. So,
okay.
The one book that really stuck out to me this year was I read the book, and I forget the author, but it's called The Politically Homeless Christian.
Okay.
And that's a really, especially coming into the election year in 2024, really, really challenging book. You know, like we've talked about in the past, I'm a political science major, so I've always been really interested in politics and that whole sphere, and just a really, really challenging book about where we should prioritize politics, mm-hmm. how we should prioritize politics in our lives, and really challenging for me. I would recommend mm-hmm. that book to almost anybody, just because it gave me a lot of food for thought moving forward. So that would be mine.
I have not read that one. That sounds interesting. I might pick that one up this year and dive into it. You know, Fractured Faith was another one. Talks about deconstruction in the church, and but there's books I've just started, like, so I'm not even going to go there. That would be for 2024.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll write them down. We'll do it for 2024.
Yeah, a couple of really heavy, thicker, like, books that are going to really stretch the brain capacity.
There you go.
I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, you can keep those books to yourself.
I'll stick with my... I won't understand half of them.
Best home project you did this year.
Home project.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I did any home projects this year. Best home project. It was a really thin year on the home project front. Okay. I cleaned out a storage room. Actually, Amy and I together, we cleaned out a storage room that had been just had a lot of stuff in it. We had three weddings in 5.5 months.
Yep.
And so we had a lot of old wedding stuff and everything. So cleaned out a room. So I don't know if we did any big, stuff.
Those are good marriage growth moments.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was fun. It was
doing
a good time.
Home projects. Yeah. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Mine would be, my yard project.
Oh yes.
This year. So
we talked about that in one of the podcasts.
We did a little bit, but we can't, but we can't talk about that too much.
Okay. We better move on.
We're going to move on.
Okay. But,
no, it was great. It turned out great. I'm really excited for next spring. Mm-hmm. I'll just put it that way. Really excited for next spring. Best sports fan moment of 2023 for you.
I want to say the Giants beating the Packers recently, because I think that will just, you know, people will lean forward, but so don't tell anyone. This is kind of our little secret. I was kind of pulling for the Packers.
Yeah.
Can we keep this between us?
Yeah, we will.
So no, because they have a better record, even though I'm a Giant fan. I grew up in Jersey, those pieces. So, it was kind of a tough year for a lot of, I'm a Bucks fan. Yeah. That was really disappointing.
Yeah.
I am a Packers and Giants fan. Neither team is really doing that well.
Yeah.
I'm a Yankee fan, but that was disappointing. Yeah. It might be that I didn't, this is the best sports moment for the year. So at the Crossway men's retreat, I played basketball. And though I was incredibly sore all weekend, like every single part of my body was sore, I did not have to go to the hospital. That's the best.
That's
sports
a big win.
Moment right
that's
there.
That's a big win.
Score.
So was the World Cup in 23 or was it in 2022?
Oh, the World Cup was. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was with Messi.
Yeah,
I did watch the World Cup. Right. It was fun. I mean, I was so that probably thanks for the reminder.
So I will say, I'm not a big soccer watcher. Yeah. I'll watch it from time to time. Yeah. But I was watching the finals, and I was alone in my basement, and we had just finished our basement a couple of years ago, and there's one particular section where a lot of the ductwork is that's low.
Oh, no.
It's only
you
like
got excited and you...
Dude, oh, dude, so when Messi scored, I think it was the go-ahead goal at the end, I like jumped in my basement and I smoked my head on this ductwork. And there's a dent.
Oh, no.
Where you can see where my
Thank
head
you, Messi.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you,
that's
Messi.
My Messi
that,
dent.
Actually, that was super exciting. And I did, now that you're reminding me, I did watch all of the games for the... in-season cup that they do. I don't know what they call it in the MLS.
Okay.
But there's like a tournament that they do. And Messi was picked up by FC Miami? Isn't that the name? Like,
yes.
Obviously a really big fan here. But I did watch those games. And that was, it was just, I was part of the hype. It was fun. It was exciting. Yeah. One of the best soccer players in history. Or football players. So
best podcast.
My dad, that's what my dad would say. Coming from Italy.
Right.
So I grew up watching football.
Of course.
But not American football.
No.
I did watch American football later.
Yeah.
My dad was a big football fan, football being soccer.
Right.
And he would say football and we would get all excited. We watched the Cosmos. People can Google that later. Okay. And we'd watch the Yankees.
I will Google that later because I have no
Pele
idea.
Pele played for
about.
The Cosmos. Oh, sure, I actually saw Pele play. He was in retirement at Giant Stadium.
Oh, very cool.
So there. That's free for you.
Little
then.
Nugget.
We'll move on.
Best podcast.
Best podcast. Oh, man. Well, I have listened to a lot of Theology in the Raw. That's Preston Sprinkle's podcast this past year. And that's interesting because he has lots of different guests. And that's been pretty pretty influential podcast to learn about some people. That I'm like, oh, I'll read their book now or I'll listen to their kind of stuff. But there's another podcast I'm trying to, it's a fascinating podcast. It's with Lex Fridman's podcast. Fridman, he's I think he's an MIT professor. I don't agree with everything. I don't like, not everything on that podcast is, you know, I'm not recommending that podcast unfiltered.
Right.
It's not a church or a Christian podcast in that sense, but just some fascinating interviews that he's done.
Right. What about do you
Theology in the Raw Prize one I've listened to a lot.
Okay. Do you watch, cause I would equate it to like YouTube channels. Like I don't listen to a ton of podcasts, ironically enough. Some from time to time. But I tend to, you know, listen or watch a lot of YouTube videos. Any like YouTube channels that you're kind of into?
I mean, I'll watch the same people. Okay. Like if I'm walking on my treadmill, I'll either listen to it or I'll watch it. There's a few, Kerry Newhoff, you know, he does one, a leadership podcast, and, you know, I've listened to several of those. I've also just dabbled in lots of other ones. The Extra 10, Kingdom Roots, that's Scott McKnight's. I've listened to a little bit of that. So just all, some Seth Godin, some, Gladwell, you know, lots of different people. So all the kind of in and out of what might be called the church world podcast and non-church world podcast. And again, I'm not saying I like or love or agree with everything on all these different podcasts, nor all the books I read, by the way.
Yeah.
Just talking about ones that have impacted me or different episodes throughout throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I primarily sit on YouTube is where I would listen to a lot of and watch a lot of interesting things. A couple of them, there's a YouTube channel called Wendover Productions, and they do basically like mini documentaries that are like 30 to 40 minutes long that are really like in-depth dives into certain things. Like they did one on like the Dollar General's like business model and how it works, which is super fascinating.
That's interesting.
Another one called Economics Explained, which is just, they take economic topics and talk about them a little bit.
I think I watched, was that on Netflix too? Oh no, maybe that was, that was a different one.
Yeah, I think that was a different one. And then the last one it's called Real Engineering. And they go in and they take like, you know, like the amazing engineering of like the Boeing 787, the Dreamliner, and just watching like it blow. And really, and so my list is a little bit, you know, it's not tied necessarily to faith. So again, I don't endorse everything on those channels. I just listen
same
to
thing
them
with
and,
the ones
right,
I was.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But it really, especially
we have all these qualifiers, and now we like it's best movie, but I wouldn't like necessarily.
But like just listening to like how smart people are, you know, when it comes to like how they've engineered like the mm-hmm. Mars rover and mm-hmm. sending things towards the sun to take, you know, to do scientific studies all the way to airplanes that we fly in. It really did actually at the end of the day, put me in awe of God and all that God has created. And so there is, for me, there was a spiritual tie, at least for a season mm-hmm. when I was going through a lot of that learning of that type of stuff. Can't really explain it, but it gave me this like awe moment of God. I was like, man, if man can create, mm-hmm. you know, with this level of intellect, and then you think about all the things that God created, and how just perfectly in sync, the creation is, obviously thrown out of sync by sin, but just all the things that have to go right in order for our world and lives to exist. And, so it just put a lot of that aha moment very in cool. for me. So, so what's the best thing that you learned this year?
The best thing? That's a huge question.
There you go, man. I'm getting deep.
Silence. I don't know if it's the best thing that I learned, but I was reminded, it was through some of the podcasts, through some of the books I've read. And definitely connected to, I see a counselor once a month, a Christian who's a counselor, just an amazing counselor. And that's been rich. I think maybe the best thing I've learned is that I need to learn. Mm-hmm. I need to prioritize that counseling time. I need to prioritize reading books, listening to podcasts that aren't just about production and performance and doing and activity, but being. And there's been themes that continue to repeat themselves. One is that we are not limitless beings, but we're limited. Mm. That's been one that's really been clear this year. And that means we have to operate as limited beings. How we order our life, how we think about accomplishment, the ability to not just forgive others, and which we can forgive others in and through Christ, but also forgiving ourselves and showing yourself some grace as well. So maybe that phrase, we are not limitless beings, we're limited. And that impacts everything.
Yeah, I think for me, it was really just like, I don't know if it's something I'm continuing to learn, but how, and again, this is going to sound really weird, but like how big God actually is mm-hmm. and how, you know, and how much he asks of us. But the benefit of that, I think, is something that I've really started to learn in 2023. And you might have heard it in themes and things that I've said during the podcast, you know, from time to time. It's like, you know, it's not like God cannot be an afterthought, cannot be something that I fit in or squeeze in. And if God really is a priority in my life, like I say he is, then he needs to be a priority in my life and how I engage my family and what my family engages in, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. what our schedules yeah. look like. We've talked about speed and pace mm-hmm. and burnout countless times.
Which ties into that idea of being a limited being.
Right, exactly.
So God is limitless. You right. are limited.
Right. Right. And so if God really is a priority, mm-hmm. what God being a priority in my life actually mm-hmm. looks like sure. Has been really a really, you know, humbling experience. And like I said, I'm continuing to learn it. But all right. So what about your best movie?
So it's a little bit older. It's not that old, but okay. I didn't see it when it first came out. Dune.
Okay.
The new Dune movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there's a sequel coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought that was really well done and layered, and it drew on lots of different stories. And so I really liked the Dune movie. From the show standpoint, two categories of shows. I've watched a lot of docuseries. Okay. You talked about that earlier. Yeah, yeah. So there's been several. I've watched some about actors and athletes and different people. And then some stand-up comedians, and there's a lot of junk out there, right. but it's this, the stand up, you know, comedian construct is just really interesting to watch. both as someone who preaches and teaches, but also just in the angle and the kind of the unfiltered nature in which they see the world. And mm-hmm. again, there's a lot of junk out there, but there's a couple of good, good stand-ups that I watch as well. So that was kind of some fun stuff. So here's a movie here. I don't know, maybe you want to land on this to keep it fun. I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. That classic. Okay. Have you ever seen it?
I mean, yes.
I've never seen it. And people are like, what? I've never gone to church. People are like, what are you saying?
I don't know if I've ever seen it on purpose.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I've seen it.
But yes. Tonight, I'm actually going to go see it in a theater.
Okay.
So, and we're recording this a day earlier than you'll post it. But, I'm super excited. I'm going to see it for the first time in a theater.
Good for you.
And so who knows, maybe that will end up being the best movie of 2023. Movie. But I love Christmas. I'm excited about what God's going to do. It's a fun time for family and services. But I do recognize, maybe we should land on this, that it's a hard time. It's a hard time for many people. And so as we approach Christmas weekend, we want to do so prayerfully. And we want to be sensitive to, you know, the people that God has placed in our life and how we can encourage them, how we can pray for them, how we can minister to them.
Well, Jason, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year. So we'll be off the next couple of weeks.
We'll see you in 2024.
We'll see you in 2024. So Merry Christmas, Jason. This is the Extra 10. My name is Ben Carlin, here with Jason Esposito. Jason, thanks for stopping by today.
Good to be here, Ben.